Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome. It's another Panther Rants podcast with your host, Lott Harris. It's Monday. Well, actually, technically, it's going to be Tuesday here in a few minutes. If you're on the East Coast, it's already Tuesday. For me, it's still Monday. It's 11:57 p.m. I'm out in the car on the way to the medical center because what I need to do requires after hours, because pretty much doctors and radiologists do all their readings and things, their dictations during the day, and they're just too busy for me to let me have their workstation. And they could go anywhere else to do their readings, but the thing about them is they're creatures of habit, like anything else. So if they don't have their the room that they're in, and you know, that special, with that special keyboard, which is just probably a junky keyboard anyway, no different. It's got to have their setup pretty much. And if it's not right, then they won't work. They don't know how to function. If they have these different computer, it got the same hardware, exact hardware, same software, because they're all built the same. But if it's a different room, they don't know how to function. And if it's an area where there's people around, where they're not confined to a, you know, their own space, God forbid they have to look at somebody. So I'm going to look at this with the hope that security can let me in the building. Otherwise, I'm fucked, but whatever. It's my last time on call, and my Monday was a disaster to begin with. But I'm on the way out now. And, you know, when my own call's over, I have a big honey-do list to do of all the stuff that fell behind the wayside. So, Pitt wrapped up its spring game. And, you know, like I said, I don't put too much stock in the spring games. And really, if you saw the the injury list of guys that were out, really can't put too much stock into it, because on offense it was pretty much a skeleton crew because everybody was hurt. Not to mention Pitt's breaking the offensive line. You can tell because, well, look at all the sacks that happened. Defense rule of the day. But I wouldn't put too much stock into that because it's a one. It's a spring game, and Pitt obviously was missing a lot of its key components on offense. So of course, the defense will dominate. And on top of that, Pitt's breaking a new an offensive line. New O-line coach. And yeah, just, of course, the defense would dominate. And of course they did. Because the defense pretty much won that game with the pick six at the end. Obviously, there were some bright spots. secondary was one thing. Linebackers. Of course, Dane Jackson with a nice pick. He's going to be really good this year. Kenny Pickett's stat line wasn't too bad. It just wasn't great either. But he's not the first quarterback to have a not-so-good spring game. If anybody remembers the 2004 spring game, which was Palka's first year, with, Rutherford, Larry, and all them going, I think that game, pretty much Palka ran for his life. That's how bad things were. Palka would go on the run for his life the next 3 years of his career. Because he did pretty well under Walt. Under Kavanaugh, he wasn't so bad. The first year was a disaster because Palka just was himself. He had a really good senior year. It's just that he ran for his life for most of it. But the defense was horrible. And no matter how hard he tried, it just wasn't good enough. I read that the attendance of the spring game was between 8,000 to 10,000. At least I saw when I was on Twitter. 8,000 to 10,000 for a Pitt spring game was pretty good. I mean, it's obviously, worthy of, if you have a small, if you have a small penis or whatever, you want to brag about the size of your attendance. I mean, 8-10 grand is pretty good for a Pitt, spring game. And, West Virginia can't make fun of Pitt because they didn't have a spring game. And of course, Penn State will have their, their penis envy. When they have their spring game, when they jack themselves off over their high attendance, which will be surpassed by Ohio State anyway. Because Ohio State gets 100K to their spring game, and reading Twitter and things like that, pretty much spring games are there for your enjoyment. You get to come back to your university and, catch up with some buddies or go back to the university itself and check about things. You have, you obviously have the one guy, the Willard years, Twitter handle. For God's sakes, for him, it's like Mardi Gras. Shit. He parties for the spring game and he gets shit-faced the rest of the weekend. And then he somehow limps his ass home back to where he lives, probably Maryland, D.C., I think is where he lives. Yeah. He does it up. He really does. So, I'll give him that. Bigger man than me. Good Lord. My liver would probably be decapitated. In the Super Bowl, it was a $2 pitcher of Miller Lite, and shoot, I had about 3 pitchers of those by myself, and I was shit-faced by halftime, the most shit-faced I've been in probably about 10 years. To the point where I was knocking furniture over in the bar. And I was just Miller Lite I was drinking. Imagine if I drink some craft beer. Good Lord. They'd be scraping off the ground. I just can't do that. I just can't do that crap anymore. But one thing, What's if there's anything to take out of the spring game, to be honest, well, you have a defense, for one thing. This was a game, really, for the... especially on offense. It was more of a game for these guys who are low on the depth chart to step up their game. And maybe you know, give themselves some... make it a competition. And really, just... nothing really separated itself. So, for them, you know, obviously the disappointment. For Pitt, you better help these guys get back healthy here soon for fall. And, you know, you can't really, you know, prognosticate what's going to happen in this upcoming season. We won't know much until the... they actually take the field. I'll be on paper when we're seeing a practice at the spring game and how they closed out, you know, the last season. It's looking good. Don't get me wrong. But in the realm of Pitt football, weird things happen, like injuries and guys transferring all of a sudden. They're just unhappy. A lot of strange things happen. I mean, who could forget Pat Bostic, the 5-star player recruit? His first few weeks on campus, he ended up leaving. Eventually, to be with, you know, he came back, but he just, you know, he didn't have the career that we hoped for. I mean, he'll always be, you know, the guy who played in the 13-9 game and scored a blown touchdown on a sneak. But overall, he was a nice guy, just his career wasn't that, didn't live up to a type. All right. So, you know, some more Pitt football stuff. As I'm rambling on about spring games and all other past memories of lore. The Pitt-Penn State game, it will be a night game this coming fall. On a game, and they got the Pirates to change their time. As I said before, like on Twitter, I said, unlike previous ADs, Heather Like has some balls. She's a female, but, you know, which obviously what I said wasn't too PC because, you know, when you have like Bruce Jenner who, you know, who's not a female but has balls, it's obviously a gross now, and it's a gross analogy, and it's an offensive analogy now. So, I'll get people to boycott my podcast, which wouldn't take much at all. I mean, we're living in a world now where Starbucks is being boycotted. I mean, in a political realm, I mean, Starbucks has been pretty much more of a far left. As Clay Travis would say, far left, you know, agenda. Yeah, which, of course, yeah, they've attached themselves to certain movements. But one thing, you know, the right doesn't seem to get is Starbucks has a veterans hiring program when they hire veterans. Because we all know how the far right, especially Trump supporters, love the veterans. You gotta support the veterans. My dad's a Vietnam vet, but those same people, my dad would give him my dad would ask him to cut his grass for him. They wouldn't be able to bother him by it. You know, they'd be nowhere to be found. It would disappear. So, teach his own. But I realize Starbucks, you know, I'm sure it's certain locations, they have a combination on the bathroom. Because a couple of them I've been to, they didn't have the combination. Or maybe they did, but the door was open, so anyone could go in there and, you know, use the restroom. Because I've never really had to ask to use the restroom, especially in Starbucks. I just go in and use it. I mean, what the hell are they going to do? Throw me in jail? Well, you know, I guess now they do that. I mean, use it and leave. But, you know, what happened here, I guess that wasn't the case. You know, it was locked and... And suppose they were told to leave but didn't for whatever reason. You know, that's what's been said. I don't know, like, you have to wait till the facts come out because stuff just gets, stuff gets reported. It's not, you know, where a story just isn't right, they just throw it out there. I know for a fact when I was in, you know, when I was in high school, we used to go hang out in front of Denny's by Century Tree Mall. And there's two Denny's. There's the upper Denny's and the lower Denny's. The lower Denny's is by 51. So we'd go hang out there. Eventually the manager would come out and tell us to get the hell out, which we'd do. Until one day, actually, the manager got fed up and called the cops on us. And we were in the other parking lot, I guess, the Toys R Us, just hanging out. And the cops obviously found us and called us over, and we get arrested for, you know, quote-unquote trespassing. So basically, the West Mifflin cop told us was simply that he hates getting these calls because they're fucking pointless to him. He hates doing them. So he told us to, you know, basically move the F on. Pretty much what he told us. You know, he said move on when you're told, otherwise next time I'm going to send one of the rookies to come handle this matter. And obviously the rookies will handle it much differently than he will, whereas they'll probably cite us, make us go to court and do other stuff. Him, on the other hand, he's been on the police force for Lord knows how long, and he obviously just has better shit to do than tell teenagers to get the hell of a get this, you know, pretty much to stop hanging out from Denny's if you're not going to freaking go in there and buy something. But you know, we trail off topic a little bit, but as far as Penn State, you know, the Penn State game goes. Last time these two teams played in the at Heinz, it was a noon game, which made no sense whatsoever. The only advantage I can see of a noon game is that the drinking wasn't as heavily, so you're gonna have less fights at that point. Whereas a night game, you're gonna have probably some pretty rowdy people. I remember, you know, when the Steelers played at the Rivers. I think the 94 game, it was an opening game. It was 94, we played the Cowboys. And what I remember for that game was, I think it was a 4 o'clock kickoff. And people were shit-faced. And there was a whole bunch of fights. Because, you know, Steelers were losing. Of course, there was a bunch of Cowboys fans in attendance. And obviously they were obnoxious as anything. And basically fights broke out. So, it happens. That's one thing I can see is the advantage of having a noon kickoff is... The sooner you have the game, the more it's easier you can get out, you can get the drunks out. But Heather obviously has some balls and got the game to be a primetime game. And it should be a primetime game. to be honest, 2016 should have been a primetime game, but I don't even think we had any AD at that point. I think Scott Barnes was gone after that, not before then. He was gone not too long after he made the Stallings hire. He was looking for his first ticket out of there. Although he did have a family member that was sick. I think his daughter is battling cancer, I think is what happened. But he made a shitty basketball hire and just skipped town. And now he blocks anybody who criticizes him. So, I don't know what to tell him. But, you know, Pitt's had their problems with, you know, trying to schedule their games around the Pirates for years. So it's good to see a little change in this, where Pirates are going to bend for us for once. Because this game has a lot more pull than any Pirate game will have all year. I mean, they're obviously winning right now, but it's a long season. Anything can happen. So, of course, you go in a few losing skids. And of course, that record you once had is not as good. But obviously, you know, the Pirates are, you know, they're, the Proc will be competitive. I mean, it just, you know, if you're expecting anything more, just do like I did and start watching the Astros. Although the Astros, you know, from most of the time I was been here in Houston, they were pretty bad, and they just started winning recently. I mean, they went to the playoffs before this past year, 2 years before they went to the playoffs. So the Proc was there, and of course, eventually they had to, you know, strike gold then. You know, as far as the Pitt-Penn Stadium goes, after this will be the last time we see them in Heinz Field for a long time, because the series pretty much is going to be gone. I know people want it to resume on a long-term basis, but it's not happening. Penn State doesn't want to schedule it. They want to schedule their P5 program, basically, is what it is. So instead of scheduling Pitt as a, you know, for P5, they can go ahead and schedule Syracuse if they want. Or, I guess recently they scheduled Nevada. But Pitt has the backyard brawl coming up, so let's go have fun with the Hoopies and cut up with them, I guess. Jeff Capel wrapped up his staff with the hire of Mylon Brown, who was the head coach. I guess last at Holy Cross. I guess Capel's staff pretty much is a bunch of guys with a lot of head coaching experience. People were hoping he'd bring in an ace recruiter, but Capel is obviously going to be the recruiter. Or at least the deal closer, I should say. It's hard to say how this is going to work out. We just have to trust the process, because we have really no choice at this point. Worst case scenario for Pitt basketball, we fire him in 2-3 years. And we go hire another coach. That's pretty much your worst case scenario right there, because we don't know how this is going to end up. Just got to wait and see. I mean, a lot of the guys he brought in, pretty much all of them are head coach first, pretty much. I mean, we've seen one. I mean, look at Barry Worson. He was an ace recruiter, and he was a bad head coach. And same with Oliver, you know, not Oliver, Orlando Antigua. He was, you know, he was a really good assistant coach. He was a really good recruiter, and he got a job at South Florida, and he was fired not too long after that, because not only were they cheating under Antigua, but they were horrible at cheating. they sucked really bad. They were cheating, and they sucked really bad. That's kind of suck. I mean, you're cheating and your team still sucks. I mean, I guess I can only imagine what would happen if they would have played by the rules, but who knows? knows? Maybe if they had to play better roles, they would have won games. Anyways, guys, I'll wrap it up here because I'm about to head to this hospital to fix all this crap. Enjoy the rest of the week. I'm sure we'll be talking later of what other fun things come up in the world in the world we live in of coffee boycotts and whatnot. But then again, you know what? There's people that are all freaked out over this whole Starbucks boycott. It's just, as if they can't go anywhere else to buy coffee. There's a lot of places that make better coffee than Starbucks. In fact, Starbucks coffee hasn't tasted good probably in the last 10 years. It's been horrible. Now, the Blonde Rose has been bad, but when it first came out, it was really good, actually. But lately, it's been bad. So, I mean, if you're having good coffee, I mean, shoot. I got a Chick-fil-A. They have really good coffee. Because they've upped their coffee game. I mean, they went to a third-party vendor who's called Thrive Farmers. They make really good coffee. And, of course, you got Dunkin' Donuts. They make really good coffee as well. McDonald's coffee isn't bad. I mean, good part about it is you can get it for a buck. Heck, even the gas station coffee, some of it's better than Starbucks. Because, I mean, gas station coffee, it may not taste as... It may be the same taste quality as Starbucks. Because Starbucks tends to have that ground-up cigarette ash flavor. But gas station coffee, you'll be a lot more jittery at times. That's what I love about gas station coffee. And usually, like, you know, because of that, I drink coffee black. Because if I'm on a road trip, I'll go to the gas station where the truckers go, because I know that stuff's going to be really, it's going to have you wired off the hook. But, alright, well, take care, guys. Now I'm finally going. Bye.